What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to Kicks and Picks Podcast. Nick and Scotty with you here tonight. Coach Steve may or may not join us a little bit. He is on daddy duty tonight. Roma didn't win, so I guess, you know, he wasn't too eager to come back on and brag. You notice he only does that when Roma wins a game.
Yeah, when they beat up on Lazio. He's the first one in the chat room.
And then, guys, started off the show talking about Roma.
Disappears in times of you know, losses.
No question, but we are here. We're going to break down what should be a pretty good week in England and Italy. We got some bangers in Serie A this week. Man, last week, Ahmed's here in the chat, told me Ahmed he would be here. Number one, first time, long time. Appreciate you, brother, as always. I was like talking to a bunch of people. I went on with Andrew, who we had on last week, and we're like, man, we had such a good show last week. We absolutely crushed the slate in England. We crushed the slate in Germany. I don't think we hit a bet in Serie A. I think we were like, or at least I know I didn't. I think we were like, every game was a draw. Like, you look at the score, the fixture, like, recap, 1-1, 1-1, 1-1, 2-2. Like, we couldn't get anything going. So that was a little bit of a bummer, including my game of the year.
Tough week for us to not try to play a couple draw lines. Like, I normally throw that out in Serie A because I feel like that's, I mean, it's, you know, between Juve and Empoli and Udinese, usually there's always at least one of those
Bologna
teams, one of those three teams, Bologna, are drawing something. But, you know, I didn't throw anything out last week, and now I regret it because I would have made, you know, mucho units last week.
No doubt. Little round robin. Fucking hit two of them, cash a boatload. So we'll be on the lookout for that this week. I don't know if there's going to be quite as much, but we'll see what we can do. We'll start off the show with a huge fuck you to Juve. We can do that just every week just because we can. But they did not come through in what was very potentially the game of the year. I have to stand by it. You will notice there on the screen, Juve and Roma are now 0-2 lifetime in game of the year. So smart people will tell you, was it really the game of the year? Or was Nick just really trying to mush Juve and make sure that they lose some points?
The real question is, does Juve go back on the banned list soon? Because it wasn't that long ago that they've been banned from any sort of bet, either on or against. And we've kind of let them off this season. May have to reopen that discussion depending on how future wagers go.
100%. Tim, what's going on, dude? The better life, if you guys are into sports gambling, but any kind of gambling. This guy has an incredible podcast that's been going on for years and years. Dynamite dude. Give him a listen. Oaks, what's happening? Thanks for hopping in. Scotty, I think you're right, dude. I think very potentially they can be banned. They just can't. I mean, unless we're taking them to draw, or if they're an underdog and we're taking them on the spread, because eventually they're going to draw.
Yeah.
Not much else to do.
What is it? They're 14 draws now in the league? Something crazy.
13 out of 20.
13 out of 20. Fucking unbelievable. But invincible. Can't be beaten.
Some are saying. So maybe this week.
What a crazy result. That if at the end of the season, they miss out on top four, but they're unbeaten. Like, do Juve fans celebrate that at that point?
Yes. No. No, I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know the right answer. You shouldn't, but an accomplishment.
If anybody knows a Juve fan personally, can you ask them that question and get back to us? Would you celebrate a undefeated out of top four season? Don't know. So you tell me, do you want to kick it off there since we're talking about Italy, stay here for a bit, or go to EPL first?
Let's go EPL first. That way, if Coach can join, you can hop in and do some Italy stuff with us. If not, then that's fine.
All right. Sounds good. We're going to quickly run through the slate here, see if there's anything that jumps out for us. Matt, I hope so, dude. Keep that faith, brother. We need you. We need that energy here. Man U at home to Southampton. Man U is a massive, massive favorite. You know, they've obviously been terrible. I don't know how to sugarcoat it. They're winless in their last four games. They're all the way down to 15th place. But yeah. I mean, Southampton of 6-point fame through 20 games. So I don't know that I have too much to say about this game. Let me know if you got anything.
I will just, it's not about this game. It's about Man U in general and a little bit about Serie A, but I am very disappointed at how well United are dumping their shitty players to very eager clubs in Italy. and just taking on all their bad contracts and basically letting them off scot-free. If Garnacho ends up leaving to go to Italy and follows Rashford, I know you like McTominay, but even like Lukaku, it's unbelievable. And I'm tired of it. So please, Italian club, stop buying from Manchester United. Their players are not that good. McTominay is, I think, mediocre, and he's the one that's shining the most. But
I would say he's the best player United's gotten rid of so far.
Yeah. Well, again, it's like, look at who they've gotten rid of, right? You know, it's
yeah. And they're exactly talking about they're talking about Garnacho for like 50 million, which is like
crazy. And it's like the Kvara replacement. Like, come on. So bad.
I don't know. It's a guy that hasn't taken any steps forward in 4 years. I mean, if we're judging him just based solely on hair and potential, maybe I get like a loan or a 15, 20 million pound move at most. 50 is out of control. I just don't understand what anybody's thinking when it comes to that.
Terrible.
Like, you don't get game time. You're not a starter at United now for the fourth consecutive year, and they're in 15th place.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just – it's one of those things where, like, his international level, for whatever reason, I think gets him more status with, you know, some of the clubs around Europe than it should. But, yeah, he hasn't really proven anything at United, and their position at the table right now speaks to that.
I'm just trying to pull it up here because Tim's here in the chat saying Southampton could be a sneaky underdog. I'm trying to see what they are on the spread. If you're giving me like two and a half goals, I could be persuaded.
Ahmed, you want my opinion on Rashford? Here's my opinion on Rashford. He had a really good season and a half, four or five years ago. Then dropped off for a while and then had like another good 3 months where I think he put
was it last year goals. Or the year before?
It was at this point, I think it was 2 years.
It lives in my head because I feel like we bet United for a really good stretch in 1 month and there.
It basically got him a new contract for ungodly amount of money, as United is so often to do, and has since just, I don't think he's really given a fuck in the last 12, 18 months. So the question is, if he moves abroad, does he start to give a fuck again? Maybe. I've always been of the opinion that he plays better through the middle than he does off of on like the left wing, which is where he's been playing a lot in United. And I don't know if that's his choice or otherwise, but if there is a club in Italy like Como that wants to take a chance on him.
He's asking for Milan. Milan's talking about him. That's why he's asking.
Milan's talking about him. I think he's going to Como. That was the last thing I heard, that he was talking about Como. But I think it's worth it. Milan, I don't know, man. I guess.
Okay, so here's the argument I have. And look, we have a lot of fans in the chat. So the question I have is, and you're uniquely qualified to answer this because nobody hates Morata more than you do.
That's true.
Can Rashford be any worse than what Milan's getting out of Tammy and Morata?
No, that's true. I mean, and again, listen, like I've more than Morata, I've hated Lukaku, right? And Lukaku, by all measures, has been decent here. I think Rashford will be better than Lukaku. He certainly moves better. But again, that's given the fact that he wants to like apply himself again, because he was sitting on these fat wages. I don't really know how that works when he goes to Italy, because I can't imagine Milan or any other of those clubs would, you know, match those. They'd have to get eaten in some capacity by United or some other, you know, configuration. But if he actually like wants to try to like salvage the rest of his career, I mean, he's not that old, but you know, I assume this is his last chance at really playing at a you know, top club in Europe until he starts to maybe look at the MLS, Mr. Better Life. Then I could see him being better than Morata or Lukaku or Tammy.
Yeah.
I mean, Tammy's had a bad year. So,
So, just to close it out, Southampton plus two is minus 140. I would probably take a stab with that.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, United's forwards, I think this season, have scored 12 goals. I think that's the stat, all of their forwards combined. If you can get plus two, you're banking on United putting up a three spot just to lose that bet. And I don't think that's very likely.
Fair enough. So I hope it happens. I mean, it's clear he's going to get a transfer somewhere. It'd be very interesting to keep him in our universe here to go to Italy so we can continue to talk about him.
I do like that we have a debate going on over who hates Morata most in the chat.
This is like the official podcast of hating Morata. Yeah. So shout out
to the right place.
All of you guys. We love it.
We all have similar thought processes here.
Coming up next, Newcastle, Bournemouth. Man, Newcastle, you have to give them a huge shout out. Because
arguably the hottest team in England right now.
Definitely the hottest team. You know, we trashed them pretty consistently early in the season when they couldn't make heads or tails of what they were doing. But a couple of guys have been absolutely balling. I think Tonali's one of them, and Isak is on fire, up to 15 goals. So three behind Salah, which is absolutely out of control. And this is something I just like was completely shocked, dude. They really have shored up their defense. Everything
after clean sheet.
Like I don't even know who to give credit to because everybody's been playing so well. So shout out them. Only 22 goals conceded in 21 games. I think like wasn't their first game a 3-3 thriller, and then they had like kind of one of those games where they had a red card and they gave up a couple goals. So they had like 6 or 7 goals conceded in the first three or four games.
Even going back to like December, because when they played Liverpool, I think it was like around the beginning of December. That was a 3-3 draw, like tons of goals. And then I think after that, they lost to Brentford, and Brentford put up a bunch, 3 or 4 on them. But since then, you know, like they've kind of like flipped a switch. Defense has been solid. I think they've had 6 or 7 clean sheets in the last, you know, month and a half. And they're scoring. You know, Isak has been on a mission. Can he keep that up? I mean, he's certainly probably a top 3 striker in England, like, or forward in England. I'll open it up. One player of the month in December, despite Salah putting up a record-breaking performance in terms of goal involvements for the single month, calendar month in Premier League history. And I think that's just a testament just how good of a form he's in. And when he's on, you know, we talk about some of these teams like Arsenal and United who have forwards who just can't finish. You know, Isak can finish and any point in the box, foot, head, whatever, he can find the back of the net. So when you have a guy like that, you know, in the run of form that he's in, tough team to beat. And so for them sitting at -150, I mean, listen, that's not a super great number, but Bournemouth, they can see goals pretty often.
Yep.
That number is just based off of, I guess, there being a high total in this. I think the total is, it's basically 3.
Over 3 is -120.
Yeah. So,
but I'm almost willing to play it.
The total?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, like, we love doing the, I think there's a couple of bets here, right? Because I do think there's going to be goals. I think you can do something like our favorite, both teams to score and over 2.5. That's at -115. I think that's a really good bet. I know we just talked about clean sheets, but Bournemouth, the only way that they stay competitive in the position that they are in the table right now, all the way up in 8th place, is by scoring goals, 32 goals in 21 matches. So I think they can get one here, even with the run of form that Newcastle's defense is in. I think Newcastle are going to get a couple here. So
for sure. And I'm sorry, I always shame on me. I'm getting their result confused because I know they just had a pretty damn good result today, didn't they? Or yesterday?
They just beat Wolves 3-0 today. Yeah.
No, Bournemouth. I'm sorry. Very lately conceded that goal to Chelsea. I'm sorry. They didn't get the win in that game.
Yeah, they almost beat Chelsea. 95th
minute Reece James free kick. Okay.
Yeah. Two goals again for Bournemouth. So
for sure. Shout out them. All right, let's move on to your squad. Liverpool, they are away to Brentford, -195, Brentford +450. I will confess that I had written the Brentford game off against Manchester City, up 2-0 around the 80th minute, only to pleasantly look at the score and see 2 goals for Brentford. So super shout out to Brentford. I was just on with Oaks and Leg. And I looked this up to try to make an intelligent comment. So now I'm going to repeat it here. Brentford have 40 goals scored.
Yeah.
That is more goals than Manchester City, Aston Villa, Newcastle,
more goals than everybody but Chelsea, Arsenal, and Liverpool. Spurs are also in there. Yeah. They're top 5 in goals scored. I forgot about Spurs.
Unreal.
Yeah. They're scary club to play, certainly at home too. So that's a concern for Liverpool. Liverpool's defense has not been great. Weirdly enough, it's kind of coincided with Alisson coming back from injury. I can't remember the last time that they've had like a clean sheet. They probably had 1 or 2 since he's been back, but it feels very unlikely. And so, yeah, I mean, they're getting, you know, a goal and a quarter, depending on where you want to play it. I think that's feasible. My biggest concern right now around Liverpool is not even their defense, but it's their goal scoring ability outside of Salah. You know, everybody's talked about Nunez and his inability to be clinical in front of net.
Not new.
Not new. Yeah. And, you know, outside of Jota, like, you know, I don't trust Luis, right? In front of that, he's hot and cold. So, yeah.
Gakpo looks good, but he's not a forward. Like, he's not a striker.
Gakpo's good. Like, he has one move though. He cuts inside, right? Like, that's his thing. Like, he cuts inside and he fights. It's a great move because when it comes off, it's a beautiful goal. But, I don't really love relying on the combination of, you know, Luis Diaz and Gakpo to get a goal.
And that's kind of the thing, man. Like, Salah's historic season has masked a lot of everybody else's play. You know, they haven't needed that clutch goal from somebody else because Salah either scores it or, you know, they've already been up, or, you know, they don't really find themselves in too many battles except for when they're playing Nottingham Forest, apparently. So, yeah, they're going to need somebody really to pick up the slack, go on a little bit of a scoring run here. I don't care who it is. Is it Jota? Is it Nunez? Is it Diaz? Is it Gakpo? Doesn't matter, but they need to absolutely figure out who it's going to be to shoulder a little bit of that load. That's really where my concern comes in here.
Yeah, and let's, you know, not ignore the elephant in the room, which is usually around February, March is when Salah has his lull in the season. Now, typically, it's because he's coming back from AFCON, but even in seasons without AFCON, he's had a little bit of a drop-off. So they're going to need something. Maybe it's Chiesa. Maybe he's, you know, the unsung hero. He comes in and plays a strong second half of the season after playing with the U20.
Yeah, I mean, he'd have to get on the field for that to happen, but let's see.
And, so is Nunez leaving? I don't think he's going to leave in January. I'd be surprised, unless there was, like, a crazy offer out of Saudi. Because frankly, like, you know, Liverpool are in a legitimate title race. And if somebody gets hurt, Gakpo or, you know, Jota is fragile as hell. They're going to need him for depth. So I think he'll probably stay through the rest of the season. And then I would probably bet on him moving on in the summer.
Nope. So what bet do you like in this game, if anything? Are you, we taking a both teams to score with something else here?
Yeah. I mean, it's tough because, you know, the total is over 3.5, which honestly, I think, is probably likely, you know, but if you're going to do that, you know, Brentford team total over 1.5 is +160. Silly. So I might do something like that. You know, just given where Liverpool are at, otherwise, yeah, you may have to go in and pick a goal scorer or two, that you like. If Jota starts, you know, I think he's probably a pretty good bet. Anytime.
No, numbers are pretty jacked here, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing too good.
Oaks wants Liverpool to offer Trent a bag. Here's my thing, Oaks. I'll try to make you feel a little better if you don't want to hear about it anymore. There's nothing stopping Trent from signing a contract with Real Madrid right now for the summer. And the fact that he hasn't kind of indicates that he might just be trying to use this as leverage to get more. So there might be a bag coming from Liverpool. I don't love it a lot because here's a fun stat for you, Nick. Not only is Trent not the leading assister among defenders at Liverpool, he's not even the leading assister among right backs at Liverpool.
Oh,
that's rough. He's behind Connor Bradley in assists this season.
That's rough.
And we know about his defensive prowess. So, listen, I don't like, he does some crazy things on the pitch and it's fun to watch him pass the ball. And he has some crazy plays that can't be replicated, but the net output that we get from him is not necessarily worth what I'm thinking he's asking, given that he's pretending he's a Ballon d'Or type player.
Yeah. I mean, we've hit the point with Trent where we need to just make him a midfielder or an actual winger and,
you know,
call it that.
I think midfield is where he belongs, but, you know, at this point, like, you know, he's 25, 26, like, you're really going to switch from right back to midfield at that point in your career? It's kind of a weird
if one. He wants to go to a team that he thinks is worthy of him. I'm talking about a team in the caliber of Liverpool, of Real Madrid, of Bayern, whoever. Like, you got to be a better defender, and you have to, you know, there's going to be competition for that spot. So you need to do whatever it takes to stay on the field, to get on the field in the first place. More talented players have made the switch. That's all I'll say. So just a thought.
My last thought on Trent is, listen, he gets a lot of leeway from Liverpool fans because he is from Liverpool, came up through the academy. If you leave that little safety bubble, there's going to be a lot more criticism about his areas where he lacks, let's just say. And I think that'll be a shock to him.
Yep. Theo Hernandez, but worse in free kicks. I like it. One last shout I'll throw out for this game, because Scotty's right. I think, like, if you're looking to play, nobody looks to play an over 3.5, but if you're going to settle for an over 3.5, this is certainly a game to do it. Brentford most cards plus 115. I think that's a sneaky good bet. I don't see really a way that Liverpool outcard them. So
yeah,
check your book. They're definitely different. It's a two-way market on some books, a three-way on others. But that's just something to throw out there.
Don't hate it.
Sweet. All right. Sorry, we spent a whole lot of time talking about United, Newcastle, and Liverpool here. We got West Ham, Palace, Leicester, Fulham, Arsenal, Aston Villa, Forest, Southampton, United, Brighton, Everton, Tottenham to round out the weekend here. And then Ipswich taking on Man City.
Yeah. You know, the Fulham line was really tempting for me. I know Fulham have been kind of mid. They've been drawing a lot, but Leicester have been even worse. I mean, you could make a case that Leicester have been the worst team in the Premier League in the last 2 months.
Sadly.
So it's tempting to take them on money line minus 105, but I just think that, you know, Fulham's propensity to draw right now is second only to Juve's, and that makes me a little nervous. So yeah, not sure that I love anything on that one. West Ham money line with Palace is, you know,
so tough.
I think if you're taking West Ham, you just take them drawn bet at minus 120. I don't mind them at home in this case. I think Crystal Palace, you know, we talk about them, they're Jekyll Hyde club of the last 10 years in the Premier League. But I think West Ham are due to kind of turn a corner a little bit. So we'll see. At home, minus 120 seems like the best play. I don't love Crystal Palace getting a win on the road. So
yeah,
pretty safe.
Interesting stat there from Tim here. And it's, I don't know, like two teams that I just wouldn't get right. No matter what I picked in this game, it would be wrong. If I told you guys, oh, West Ham, new bounce, they're at home, plus 155, great. Or no, Palace, they've been in a great run of form. They're actually a better team than West Ham. I wouldn't get it right. Not even going to venture a guess. I would say good luck to anybody that's betting this game.
Yeah, I mean, again, I'm not a huge Graham Potter fan. I've criticized him plenty of times, you know, when he came over from Brighton to Chelsea. But weirdly enough, I feel like West Ham kind of suits him for what he's trying to do. They certainly can score. You know, I think they scored 3 against Fulham midweek. Yeah. So, don't think Crystal Palace are going to outduel them. We know West Ham have the talent up top to score in bunches. So if Otter can just like make their defense even like medium, then they should get the win here.
This is a game, I'm pulling it up right now. Like, I guarantee you, you're going to get a fat number on an anytime goal scorer. So I don't know who it's going to be. I don't know who you like. Is it easy? Is it Eddie N? You know, Paqueta, who scores, I feel like every other game. He scored last game, so maybe he'll take a game off. Yeah. But like, you're going to get a plus 250 number or better on just about anybody. So that's something I would keep in mind if you have a player that you like, or if you see how the game is going.
Yeah, and I don't think, I'm looking now, I don't see it up, but you know, to score or assist too, you can go with Kudus. I think he's plus 245 goal scorer. So
probably plus 130, plus 140 goal or assist. Yeah,
something like that.
Paqueta to get a yellow. Always.
Well, got to talk to his bookie first and then figure out which side of the line he's on. And then, yeah, Arsenal-Villa, I think that's probably the most interesting one in England this weekend. And then maybe we can shift. I don't know if there's anything else. But
yeah, so the thing I'll say about Villa is they're getting – I guess it makes sense. I suppose I didn't realize that Tottenham had fallen all the way to 13th place. And that Tottenham –
which I won't.
Is winless in their last six or seven games. So we knew they've been bad. I guess I didn't realize how bad they were. So in my mind, when I bet today's game, I had Tottenham plus a goal and a half. I also had Tottenham plus two, and we also had Tottenham to score a goal in a separate play. But I'm like, you know, why is Tottenham plus 650? That's a little bit disrespectful to them. And now I'm looking at Villa that's plus 550. So why is Villa getting a better number than Tottenham? Well, I got my answer, I guess. But Tottenham kept it reasonably close. Quite honestly, they could have drawn that game late. So what leads me to believe that Arsenal should be a minus 200 favorite? I know they're at home.
Yeah,
but like the number, I just told you guys a really long story to say that I don't believe this number is correct.
Yeah, I mean, at the risk of sounding like a broken record with Arsenal, they are not getting goals outside of set pieces right now. Scored today off of a corner, and then I guess Trossard scored, you know, off of open play. But don't bank on Arsenal. I think we talked about the stat last week. They had like one goal in their last 8.3, you know, expected goals generated. Don't expect Arsenal to come into some, you know, crazy goal scoring form where they're going to be putting up two or three on the regular. I think you're more likely to see them in the 0-1 range in the near term until they get a little bit healthier or maybe do some business in the transfer market. But yeah, I mean, we made fun of Aston Villa about their defense kind of dropping off, you know, in November and December. It's not great right now, but it's certainly showing signs of getting better. But more importantly, that they're scoring goals again. They've scored two goals in four of their last six matches. So yeah, if they can even just get one again, Arsenal's strength is probably their defense, but if they can get one,
I didn't realize best defense in the Premier League.
Yeah. That's really the only thing that's keeping them in the title race is the fact that they have a really strong defense. Yeah. Arsenal plus, I mean, Villa plus one in this is plus 100. It's even money.
It's kind of where I was at.
Yeah. I don't hate that. It's, you know, Arsenal probably should get a win in this match, you know, being at home and needing to keep pace with Liverpool. So yeah, if they get a 2-1 win here, you got your cover, but I would back Villa in this with my money.
I'm with you. And this does fall a little bit into the category of that's what I'm rooting for. So that's why I'm going to bet that way. But Arsenal's defense has been really good. You have to give it to them, but I just think Villa plus 550 seems a little unfair. I don't think the number is correct. And then they're going to do everything they possibly can to stay in this top four race.
If you want a player prop, interested long shot, Gabriel shot on target is plus 195 for Arsenal. Like I said, they only score off of set pieces. Part of me even thinks that like they're at a point where they try to play to get set pieces. They're just trying to get corners and you know, free kicks in and around the box just to get something up to their center halves. So plus 195, plus 195 for him, just a shot on target for a corner or set piece, I think is interesting.
Yeah. I mean, what's his like shot? Is it like minus 130 just for him to get a shot?
Yeah, I will pull that up for you.
Sorry. Yeah, I mean,
plus it's, well, no, one shot is minus 245 for
Gabriel. All right. Now see that.
Two shots is plus 185.
No, never mind. Forget it.
Yeah.
Just trying to do a thing. United plus 105 to Bright at home to Brighton plus 240. Are we backing United to get something out of this game?
No, not until they prove something to us. Yeah. I think maybe that's where we are with United is I think you had a they need to prove it situation with Arsenal 2 months ago. I think we're now at that with United. They have the new manager. We know that they have a whole squad that they have to overhaul and get into, you know, whatever their manager's vision of a 3-4-3 or whatever Morham's formation really is. But until they can prove it, like, I don't want to back them on anything.
Right.
You know, Brighton on the
they've
road.
They've fallen off the cliff a little bit.
They're tempting at the number, though. Like, a Brighton draw no bet at plus 145 isn't bad. You know, I after saying what I just said about United, like, I'm not going to sit here and say I expect United to win. So getting that's them tough. At basically plus 150 or so, you can probably shop again around plus 150 draw no bet. I wouldn't hate a flyer on Brighton on the road.
Yeah, fair enough. Then I mean, they need to win pretty badly. All right, before we turn this around here, a couple more games. I forgot about Chelsea too, but they're a huge favorite. Only I'm just gonna pose it as a question. I don't know if you have to or want to give out a bet in this game. Tottenham is plus 150 to Everton. We talked about Tottenham at length, how bad they've been. And certainly the seat is warming up a little bit. You're giving me, you, and the nine people in the chat plus 150 against Everton. I'm probably going to take it. So why wouldn't I take Tottenham plus 150 here?
I won't stop you from taking it. I won't take it because then Everton will almost certainly get a win in 3 points and take them a little bit safer from the relegation zone, just given where my rooting interests are. So I won't stop you from taking it. I won't personally be taking it just because I know that's what's going to happen. But yeah, I mean, you know, this whole season has been pretty disappointing for Spurs fans. They're sitting in 13th place. They just lost the North London Derby to Arsenal in a game that they probably could have gotten something from. But the line from, you know, the owners and the like has been that Ange's job is not under any sort of scrutiny, which I've agreed with up until a certain point. If they don't beat Everton here, then I think his job has to be up for scrutiny at least a little bit.
Yeah.
Because now you're talking about losing to a team that's in a relegation scrap, potentially putting Spurs into a relegation scrap, right? Like, they're not sitting that pretty in the table at 13th, right? Like, it's, you know, unlikely, but sure. You know, if somebody
as unlikely as Roma,
yeah, it's not great, especially for a club that has, you know, a pretty brand new stadium and is supposed to be injecting money into the squad. But yeah, absolutely, Spurs should be winning this plus 150. God bless. I just can't do it because I think that's just the wrong voodoo.
Listen, I'll be back on next Wednesday bitching about them. There's no doubt in my mind, but if you're giving me plus 150 for anybody against Everton, this point in time, I have to take it.
Yeah.
Anything else here in England? I think that pretty much covers it.
Yeah, I think that's all in England.
All right, let's hop over to Serie A. We have a couple of good ones. Friday game, Coach Steve's squad. Roma is at home to Genoa. Shouldn't have said we have some good ones and then let off with the Roma game. That just happened to be the first game that I read, so that's not true. The only thing I'll say is Genoa is only 1 point behind Roma in the standings. They only have one loss since Patrick Vieira took over, so they actually have been pretty good. But I think Roma number is probably correct. They likely take care of this game at home.
Yeah, they should.
Thanks, brother.
But there's a part of me, like we kind of talked a little bit about this before we came on air. Genoa plus one, I don't hate. I know, you know, Roma's certainly turned it around lately. They're not necessarily as in poor form as they have been earlier this season, but, you know, coming off of two draws in their last three matches, you know, to a Milan team that's not super extraordinary and, you know, a pretty mediocre to bad Bologna team.
Yeah. Actually, normally I'd agree with you. I got to give Bologna a little bit of props because they've actually gotten result after result with pretty much a 80% of like the squad they had last year and a new manager, no forwards to speak of. Tough out is all I'll say.
Yeah. I mean, look, it going through the Roma Genoa history, right? I know it's going back to 2021, but Roma have managed a victory of one or more goals against Genoa in just one of their last six matches.
Okay.
So they had a draw 1-1, beat Roma 1-0, or beat Genoa 1-0. Genoa beat Roma, smacked them in September of 2023. 4-1.
We were there.
Yeah. Just going all the way back. So, yeah, I don't know. They'll take Genoa plus one, expect them to keep it close, let their defense.
They've been really good since Vieira took over. Honestly, they're not giving up a lot of goals. They're not scoring a ton, but Pinamonti has been good. He has like, 7 or 8 goals, and this is a guy that's like, you know, an afterthought Serie A wayward striker. So here's hoping that Roma will find the form that made us all enjoy the first half of the season. So yeah. I will back you.
All right. Do we want to talk Bologna Monza, or do we want to just get into Juve?
No, not much to say though.
Okay.
Nothing going. Good for Bologna though. Points in two straight against Roma and Inter today. Big come from behind draw against Inter today. Title implications potentially.
All right. Let's talk about your favorite team, Juve. Juve.
Is my thing up on the screen? I don't know. Can we see where it says Juve and Roma 0-2 game of the year?
It was. I don't see it right now.
But yeah. Okay. Yes. I think when we turn the comments down,
here we go. Pops up. There it goes. There it is. Yeah. Juve at home. Favorites, only a little bit. Plus 115 on the money line. Milan, plus 235. Juve, we talked about at the top of the show. Kings of the draw. Invincible. Haven't lost a game yet this season, but 13 draws in the 20 matches that they've played. Do they get a rare 3 points? It's weird to say. Do they get a rare 3 points at home this weekend?
I hope not. Let's start with that. Fuck Juve. They lost against Torino in a game that I never, like, they don't lose that game, right? That's, I joke about game of the year. There's no such thing as games of the year. Like, we do this shit for fun. Like, I hope if you took it seriously, then hey, listen, I hope you're as glad Juve lost as I am. But the reality behind that game was you have a coach that's fighting for his life, a team that's fighting for their lives to make top four. They're playing against Torino, a team that I think they've beaten something like 32 of the last 38 times they played or something like that, like one loss in like 40. And then you have Milan, Atalanta, Napoli to follow. So no way in my mind does Juve lose this game last week or not win this game last week. Well, check it out. They didn't win the game last week. And now you're going to turn around and tell me they're betting favorites against Milan the very following week. Something is really fucking fishy. And that scares me. And just from a purely betting standpoint, this tells me Juve are going to win this game. And I hate that. It's the last thing I want to happen for our enjoyment, for all our friends here. Shout out everybody that's in the chat that I know a lot of you are Milan fans. Something doesn't add up here. And I was going to say it's because, well, Milan has a little bit of a cup hangover. They still have a new coach. They definitely have some injuries that they're dealing with. They haven't been scoring a ton of goals from their strikers. But there's nothing redeeming I could say about Juventus, right? Like, for anything bad I could say about Milan, I can't turn around and make the case for Juve. And that's really where I'm struggling with these odds. They just don't make sense to me. Because what leads me to believe Juve is going to go out and score two goals? They haven't done it in forever. I know Milan's defense is a little suspect. Maignan has had a hot and cold season. Emerson Royale is terrible. Ciao, I don't know if he's suspended for this game or not. But a lot of injuries, a lot of fatigue. Johnny just pointed it out here. That does worry me a little bit. But who do you trust on Juve to get the job done? So I don't really know what to say. Like, I don't know what bet to intelligently give out, because it really, really stinks of a Juve win based on these odds. But I will be taking Milan plus 140, draw no bet, absolutely to the bank.
Well, out of principle, I have to take the draw on this, because I just talked about how foolish I was to not give out any draw bets last week, and it killed us. So yeah, I'll take a draw at plus 210. Here's the weird thing. Juve have not beaten Milan at home since COVID.
There you go.
They've only beaten Milan twice in that time period, and they both have been on the road. So,
and Milan beat them a week ago or a week and a half ago in the cup.
Yep. So it is, all signs point to sadness for Juve this weekend. As you said, it seems weird that the odds don't reflect that. But, you know, 13 draws in 20 games is an impossible trend. But long may it continue. And if it does, plus 210, you know, whatever, I'll take a flyer on it. It seems like this is a 1-1 kind of game to me. I know you said that they haven't scored two plus goals, but they actually had a run. They scored two against Fiorentina, two against Monza, and then two against Venezia. So I guess, lower
three
teams
terrible
in the table.
Defenses. Yeah.
But let me take a step back from the betting aspect of this. If Milan lose this game, are we writing them off for top four?
No, I back them, and I have to continue to back them. Let me pull up the standings to intelligently say this. Fiorentina is completely out. They've not won a game, I think, in five or six. Milan is going to finish ahead of them. I do believe Milan's going to finish ahead of Lazio. It's between Milan and Juve, so it is a six-point swing. Like, I get what you're saying from that standpoint, but Juve hasn't shown me enough to let me know that they're going to be in fourth place.
Okay. All right. That's a measured take, so I'm not going to.
Unless.
I wanted you to say yes.
They got Colomwani today, right?
Oh, did they? I missed that.
Yeah.
That's, from PSG, that's official.
So, okay. On a loan. So, I mean, that could be an X factor. Milan definitely. Okay. We talked about Rashford. I don't know if it's going to be him. I don't know if it's somebody else. They absolutely need to get a forward. Like, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. But yeah, I think both teams to score in this one is probably my favorite bet. Minus 120. I think both get on the score sheet for sure.
Okay. On to the next. Atalanta versus my favorite club, Napoli. I say in jest. Napoli still sitting at the top of the table, 47 points. Atalanta is 4 points behind. Kvaralis now. Atalanta at home. I'm going to call this a must-win for them to remain kind of title relevant. I know that's maybe a bit too soon to say, but if you're not getting, you know, 3 points here, you're going to have to find Napoli slipping up quite a bit in the next month or so to really keep yourself competitive. So I'll make this a borderline must-win for Atalanta.
It is.
Plus 125 on the money line gives them, books are giving them a little bit of hope and a little bit of an edge in this. Napoli plus 215. Nick, convince me why we shouldn't bet on Atalanta.
Napoli's defense is outstanding. You know, we've put a lot of focus on the show, on Conte, on the offense, right? They are depending on Lukaku. He's not been very good. Politano has gotten a ton of minutes. He is probably the most hated Napoli player on Twitter for sure. He's not a goal scorer. He's not really an offensive threat, really, for a right winger. That's problematic. Kvara now is out. But Napoli's defense is fucking awesome. They've only given up 12 goals. If I'm not mistaken, 5 of the 12, I think, are in 2 games. Yeah, I'm going to have to fact check that. I know they gave up like 3 goals in 1 game. So you take that out of it. Like, dude, they're giving up half a goal a game, just about. That's what worries me a little bit. And Atalanta hasn't exactly been in great form. They're coming off of 3 straight draws. They obviously, you know, lost to Inter in the cup where they didn't even score a goal. That's kind of what worries me a little bit in this one. But Rotegi is back. That's huge. I think Lookman has looked good, even though he hasn't gotten on the score sheet as much as we would like. CDK has cooled off a little bit. So that worries me a tad. But you said it, man. It's a must win. They're at home. Got to get up for this game.
So you are right. They have conceded 6 goals in 2 of their games.
Okay.
But one of those 3-0 games was against Atalanta.
Okay.
In Naples. So, yeah, I think Atalanta money line is the play here at plus 125. I'm also, again, big time Napoli hater. I'm waiting for the wheels to fall off. And with Kvara leaving, even though he's been unavailable for most of the season, I'm just going to wait and take my victory lap at some point, hopefully in the next couple of months. I'll take Atalanta here. That'll pull them within 1 point of Napoli, Inter, depending. I mean, we'll talk about them in a little bit. Depending how that result goes, could potentially hop Napoli in the standings.
I like it. And listen, we've been rooting for chaos the entire year, and we've seen chaos 100%. The entire year in Serie A. So the most chaotic result here is an Atalanta win. So I'm with you there. Both teams to score, minus 125, I think, is right there.
Fair enough. Why do I not have any time goal scorer?
Probably. No, I don't have it either. It's just not out yet.
That's terrible. Because I was going to take a look at Rotegi, because I feel like that is, I mean, based off of his 2 or more at that plus 1300, where would that put him? That's like around plus 200, is that not?
Got to be. Or probably plus 250, that range.
Okay. So we'll keep an eye on that. I would like to take some player props on Atalanta goal scorers for this.
Definitely.
Fiorentina Torino.
Fiorentina
potentially getting a new manager or new old manager?
I don't know. And that doesn't really make sense to me. I've praised Paladino a lot. He's a good manager. He was with the Monza team last year. That was a terrible roster. He had them in like 9th place, I think, to finish the season, 9th, 10th place. He left. They're in dead last. He has Fiorentina currently right now, I think, at the very top or close to the top of the Conference League. And in sixth place, you know, a game in hand on Juve, but only 2 points back. So if you're talking about replacing this guy with a team that has absolutely no goal scoring prowess outside of Moise Keane, who he's revitalized to the tune of 11 goals, I can't fathom that. That makes absolutely no sense to me. That being said, they are winless, I think, in six or seven games. Yeah. They've fallen off a cliff. You know, top four, no longer a possibility. Top six is going to be really, really tough. But I think he's doing well considering the squad that he has. Torino fucked us last week. They drew Juve.
I would good love for them, to take though. Torino in the spread number here. They're just not giving us enough.
Right? No way. This is a complete pass game for me.
Okay, fair enough. Is this maybe an under game? I know we don't like betting unders here, but...
Is it playable? Is under two and a half
is plus 110.
What's under three? If you're telling me under three is like minus 130, I'd play it.
Oh, sorry. I misspoke. Under 2.5 is minus 160. Over 2.5 is plus 110. No. So never mind.
Nope. Out.
Sorry.
All good.
Disappointing. All right. We'll move on then. Parma versus Venezia.
Over 2.5. Over. Just don't even care what happens. These are teams that are going to go for it. 2-1 game, 2-2 game.
This is one of those both teams score because they're both terrible kind of games, which has been working for us. Both teams to score. You'll have to do it in both teams to score and over 2.5. That gets you to minus 110. So sure.
I like it.
Both teams to score over 2.5, minus 110.
I love it. Just to quickly go back to Ahmed's comment, Gudmundsson's been a disappointment. Yes. I talked about Montella. I think he did great with Keane. He's doing good with Sotil. Gudmundsson and Kolpani have been fucking terrible. Like, those two dudes have taken massive steps back. So I agree with you completely. Sorry. I wanted to agree with the comment.
That's totally fine. We're going to go to your club. Verona versus Lazio. Lazio on the road, money line, minus 135 against a Verona team that, I don't know, am I being overdramatic? I say they're just not good.
No. Must win game for Lazio. Lazio just fired their Falconer handler
showing
guy.
Prosthetic penis on
and I don't know if you guys heard this, but the team doctor also got fired because the team doctor apparently was the one who did surgery.
Oh,
like insane. That's pretty crazy. Lazio.
There's gotta be something there. There's something else there. They've been waiting for a reason to fire this guy, and this was it.
So basically when Leg actually joked about that, he tweeted at me. He's like, here's the article. He's like, I need Nick's thoughts. And I had no clue who they were playing, no clue what the line was. I was like, Lazio money line this weekend, no doubt.
Yeah.
And now I look, and it's against Hellas. And it's most certainly a must-win game for Lazio. The issue is, or maybe it's a positive, both of our forwards are suspended. Both of the strikers are suspended for cards, Tati and Dia. So I don't exactly know what kind of formation or what's going to go out there. Could I see a draw on this one? Plus 255. I don't think that's terrible, but Lazio should win the game regardless because it's Hellas.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to disagree with anything you said because you are the foremost Lazio expert. My question is, you know, is Hellas getting a goal in this one? Cause that seems to be both teams to score minus 125.
Lazio line... both teams to score games until they don't hit. Yes. Okay. Absolutely.
Because my belief has always been you never rely on Hellas to get you both teams to score. But if you're telling me that, you know, Lazio are in this, they conceded to Como. They've conceded to Roma. They
28 goals allowed in 20 games.
Yeah. When was their last clean sheet? Can't even find it. It's been a while. There you go, Napoli. So that was their last clean sheet, was beginning of the month.
There you go. And Hellas is they're scoring over a goal a game. They have 24 goals scored. So
all right. So maybe that's the play then. We'll take both teams to score in this one at minus, we can probably get around minus 120, minus 115. Last two,
correct.
Inter versus Empoli and Como versus Udinese.
Feels like sneakily like a game where like Empoli get a goal.
Okay.
You know, Inter, obviously their defense hasn't been that good as seen today and other games. So I could see that happening, but Inter not to be trusted at big numbers so far this year. I think that's one thing we can say.
I'm trying to find something creative, and there's not much there.
Johnny's right. We need Balotelli to Lazio. I know where he's going. 100%. I would take that guy's rotting the bench, or to MLS if he wants to come to Inter Miami.
I was gonna say, where's the Inter Miami plug?
I will get season tickets. Absolutely. Yeah.
He can he'll keep the bench warm for Rashford in his 2 years from now.
Facts. And yeah, I'm really surprised to see Como getting a big number over Udinese. This game screams draw to me. Draws plus 225. That's a gross number.
Riding high off their draw against Lazio.
But Udinese draws in three straight.
Mm.
That was our team last year that we rode to the draw.
Udinese double chance? Minus 130? That's not minus 120.
This is probably an over game for me. Probably a 2-1 game.
Really? Okay. Yeah, I can see that.
Should be a lot of action. Like sneaky good games, I think, in both leagues.
Yeah. I'm fine with that. Over 2.5 is plus 100, so I don't mind that at all. I would do a little bit of both. I'd do over 2.5, and I would do Udinese double chance. So
I dig it. You could convince me. You never need to talk me into fading Como. Plus 900 to get relegated, if you remember.
They are. Anything else? Anything else in any other leagues that you saw?
Yeah, a couple. There was one in Germany I thought I liked. RB Leipzig is minus 105 away to Bochum.
Now that Klopp is fully in charge of the Red Bull soccer setup in Europe, we're going to start back in the Leipzigs.
You know what, man? They're a little bit inconsistent, but they're just so much better than Bochum that I can't fathom they have a minus 105 number. So I definitely like that. That was the main one. I think the rest of them.
Do we like Frankfurt versus Dortmund this weekend? I mean,
Dortmund stinks. Like they can't stop anybody, man. Their defense is fucking bad. And Frankfurt's good. We talked about it last week. I think they're underrated. Frankfurt,
they still have Marmoush as far as I'm concerned. I don't think City have completed that deal, so assuming he plays.
And he's been automatic. So yeah, plus 115 at home is not bad. It should be a fun game. I would definitely say tune in, whether you're betting it or not. But those are the two I definitely like.
Yeah, I'm trying to find
and then Spain, I know they have cup games tomorrow, so like the weekend slate was jacked.
Yeah, I think Frankfurt money line plus 115 at home. The more I'm looking at it, the more I like it. So
yeah, I dig it.
All right, well that'll do it for this week. Coach did not make it, but we'll guarantee his return in the podcast next week
if Roma win.
If well, maybe if they just get a point, we'll settle.
No, shout out. Appreciate you guys. Thank you all in the chat. Definitely, you know, hit us with a retweet or a like or comment something on Twitter. If you're on YouTube, definitely, man, the likes and the subscribes, appreciate that, helps out. Give Coach Steve hell. That's your next assignment, man. Definitely let him know where to go for not showing up today.
Yeah, and please tune in next week. We're live every night Wednesday around 8:30
Eastern. We got Champions League soon, right? A couple weeks.
Champions League coming back. Yeah, I think yeah, next week or so. They have the last two matches of the league's table stage, so
might have to do a special show or two.
Easily. Done.
Love it.
All right. See everybody.
Thanks, guys. Good luck.